Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Knights of the Round Table. This is your boy, Manuel, and today we're going to have an amazing episode with one of my girls, Paige, and her newly minted fiancé, Byron. Look, for all y'all that are out there, single people, struggling to find that other person, this podcast is going to be for you. The stories that we hear, the things that Paige went through, the things that Byron went to find that special person, to not lower your standards and to actually know that there is someone out there that's built for you, is everything that we discover in this episode. I promise you, you will get something from it, and I cannot wait to hear the stories that come back of those who decided to be patient to find exactly who they were looking for. We love you guys so much. Make sure to check us out on YouTube at Mind of Manny. Here is Knights at the Roundtable. And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Roundtable. Tis your boy, Man Weezy, quarantine edition still.
Quarantine. Because
this damn thing is still on lock. I got my queen to the left of me, as always. We got Be Real over in NoHo. Hola. And we got our guest today, Byron and Paige, over there in freaking Chatsworth.
Yeah.
In the chatty. In the chatty, chatty, bang, bang, son.
And the crowd goes, where? Where are they?
Yeah. Everyone's Googling now.
Chatsworth. Y'all know about Chatsworth. Chatsworth
goes down.
Is the upper echelon Compton.
No, it's not.
Chatty, chatty, bang, bang.
No, it's not.
Compton adjacent.
It's not at all. It's actually very
It's very Compton if Compton had nothing but white people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, the white Compton.
We see too many people walking their dogs over here.
It's the Compton that white people can live in to feel safe, but still pretend they're in C-Town.
Yeah. There you go.
So we are, you guys, in still quarantining, still very responsible. Everybody on this this FaceTime here, this little thing that we're doing, is responsible, has been responsible, and I just want to shout that out because California has gotten some bad looks lately with some idiots on the beach just trying to live their best life.
Right.
And I get it, but I don't get it at the same time. It really bothers me.
It upsets me. It infuriates me.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I get it. Like, I know you want to live your life and stuff, but I mean, at the detriment of everyone else, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I just feel,
I mean, need that sand.
I mean, I feel like we've always known that humans can be very, very selfish. This has just proven that point at an astronomical level. So yes. I get it. I'm going crazy. I would like to go somewhere other than the 3-mile radius that is my parents' home. But also, like, I don't want to be stuck here for the rest of my life because I took that liberty for an afternoon. Like, I just.
It's, correct.
Right.
Oh, it's
right.
So frustrating.
And I don't want to be in a hospital and have my wife be mad at me. And that's like the ultimate, I told you so.
Right.
Oh, I'll be so mad at you if you die.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Or put
someone else
in the hospital.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
There's also that.
I don't want to hurt nobody else. I want nobody else to hurt my family.
Right.
I went to the grocery store for the very first time in 40 days.
Mm.
What?
Oh, yeah, that is pretty
impressive. Yeah, I had a mask on, my gloves on, my hair pulled back, I had a hat on, and it was kind of emotional, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Like, we forget how, you know, we take for granted things like just going to the grocery store, and so that was a little bit emotional, like, oh, I miss this. So it was that, and then pile on top of it, hurry up and get out before you get the Rona. And then there was like that anxiety on top of that. And then you see everybody with their masks on and their gloves. And you're like, wait,
I went to our health spot.
Right.
I went to our health spot and I accidentally walked in without observing the sign that said, don't walk in until we come get you.
Right.
And then outside, there's the lines that are 6 feet apart. And then on top of that, there was this lady out there and she was like making sure we were 6 feet
hallway
apart.
Monitor.
Meaning if I wandered towards her, she would like back up, move to the left.
Oh, was that
right.
My mom? Because that's how my mom's been.
Yeah, that's literally how it is. It's like American Ninja Warrior when I went to the store with them.
Yeah.
You're ducking and diving and spinning around and just doing things. It's crazy.
Oh, man. I didn't feel good about that.
It's even weird, like, running. Like, so I've been getting into some long distance running just to keep myself somewhat sane.
And when you're like going down the street and there's someone walking on the sidewalk, you're like trying to figure out
how to make
like,
a decision.
Oh, hey, you go left, I go right. But it blows my mind and it actually pisses me off when some people just don't move. Like, it's just like, come on, man.
That's the battle.
Yeah, now you're going to make me run in the street. Come on,
yeah. It's the battle for king of the sidewalk now. It's an ego thing now. You see another guy, it's like, I'm not moving, bro. You're moving? I'm not moving. It's like
playing chicken. Like, who's going to move first, you know?
Right. Yeah. Who wants that Rona?
Right.
That freaking Rona. You know, and here's another interesting thing about Rona. I feel there's been a lot of Rona relationships.
They have no choice.
Segue into what we're going to talk about.
They have no choice.
Look, I had this conversation with a good friend of mine who was telling me about this relationship that she is now in. And she hasn't figured out what it is because apparently they met a couple months ago, started hanging out, and all of a sudden he just started showing up at her house and not leaving. And ooh. I'm like,
serial killer.
Okay, so like basically the dude has moved in.
No, like in a... They moved quickly.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like, but
not
when
in,
I
like,
say
a, he's gonna kill her in her sleep.
I thought like he just randomly shows up, like, and just stares into her window.
I was like, no. Go get your friends.
He's there, but here's the funny thing: like, she hasn't, like, he doesn't communicate that he's coming over. He'll show up, he'll stay, doesn't communicate that he's staying, and then doesn't communicate when he's coming back.
Wow.
So basically he's like, you know, I don't know, like a loving roommate that just doesn't communicate.
She's,
and I'm like, and she's
like,
shelter.
He's
she's
guy on
shelter.
The couch from Half Baked. He's guy
she's
on the couch.
Asking me these questions. She's asking me these questions like, what, you know, what do I do? What does this mean? Or what? And I'm like, wait, so you literally have not like talked about or broken down the current situation and how it's happening. And have discussed at all what you want, what you don't want. Is this for real? Is this not for real? What is this? Is this just a Rona time fling or is this something more?
Rona time fling.
That's got to be a song.
I'm fine with that. I'm really fine if you want to just, you know, mess around with somebody for the Rona and y'all both know it. If, you know, whatever. Get your rocks off.
Get your quarantine.
Get your quarantine love.
But the fact that you didn't communicate about it. Like, you don't even know what's going on. Made me so upset because, which brings me to the topic of our conversation today. We're talking about love being worth the wait. There's a lot of, I don't want to say idiots. There's a lot of stumbling blocks on your way to love. I know for me, I had a good track record, you know, like there were some females. Luckily, after I met the Lord, the level got way better. And I think they're all amazing people. Nonetheless, there were some compromises on my way to finding love and the, I don't want to say everybody's apex, but marriage for some of us, that's the apex. So I'm the type of person that I don't like. Once I recognize that I'm compromising myself and making myself lesser, it bothers me because I am such a anal perfectionist that I have to be the best at everything. Even at love, I have to be the best at it. So I'm like, I'm not the best at this. This relationship sucks. I got to bounce. I'm going to get something better. No worries. That's the way I've been wired. You know, it almost happened to us, poor us, at the very beginning in our first.
Poor us. Poor us.
She's like, this is the first time I'm hearing this.
Wait, yeah, what part?
No,
what
remember
story
in our first in her. Our first date. Remember, we still have the same. You know, you were acting kind of cold, and you almost lost me.
Right.
Because I don't put up with any of the BS.
You said, "Cause I'm a gift. You almost lost me.
You almost lost me. But she didn't.
The Lord
intervened and sent Michael to her shoulder and met her at the burning bush and told her, don't mess up your Jerusalem or you're going to end up back in Egypt. That's what the Lord told her.
Make sure she does not turn around. She will turn into a pillar of salt.
This is my question. Because Paigey, we've been friends going on now. Are we a decade in?
Yeah, I think. I feel like... How old was I when I met? I was like maybe 20, 21 when I met you. We're over a decade because I think it was like 20, 21 and I'm 34 now.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're over a decade in. So I've been privy. to the relationship, her football field of relationship. And this is the question that I want to ask, because, and Byron, I haven't even got to dig in with you, so this is going to be fun because she told me a little bit about it. Why, on your way to finding love, have you compromised yourself? Why did you compromise yourself? And why do you think that's more often than not people's reaction to relationships and love? I feel like when I say more often than not, if we can all agree, most of the people in our single people in our relationship circle, like our friends, you find them talking more, complaining like, oh, this dude's this, or this dude's this, or this girl's this, or this girl's this, as if this is something that they have to be in.
Right.
As this is like, oh, I guess you just got to deal with it. Yeah. I find it more people compromise their wants than anything else. What about you? What happened in your life?
Manny's being so nice. He doesn't want to use the word settle.
Yeah.
Settle. Use compromise instead of settle.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely compromised, settled, all the above. For me, and I like how you said if your apex is marriage, for a lot of people it's not, but I think for a lot of people still some sense of like a long-term connection and companionship and partnership with a person is, I mean, that's just like part of the fabric of our being as humans. Like, we need to feel connected. That's why so many people right now are losing their minds during quarantine, right? Because we can't connect. Like, we're isolated from one another. And so I think for some of us, me in particular, you know, I've always known, like when I was younger, it was like, there are two things I'm sure of. I'm going to be a wife and a mom because I want to get married. And I'm going to somehow find a way to like rule the world from a creative capacity. And those are just two things I always knew I wanted. It could very much have come from the examples that were set for me. My mom is great. My grandmothers were amazing. And I was surrounded by really, really, really amazing women who were amazing women, period, just as individuals. And then on top of that, amazing wives and then amazing mothers and so on and so forth. So for me, that's just something I always knew I wanted. Mm-hmm. If you would have asked 15-year-old me, I mean, I had it planned. I was going to be married by 24. I was going to have 5 children. I was going to be done having those children by 30 so I could then enjoy those children and then have them all out the house before I was 60 so then I could, you know, get my second wind with my man.
Like, you get your groove back. You can get your groove back, Stella.
You know, that was my plan. That was like, that's what's going to happen.
How'd that work out for you?
That didn't work out at all. That was my plan at 15. At 17, I left for college and started dating a guy in college. And that was my first, that was my first big compromise. And I think a lot of that came from just not knowing who I was. I was a 17-year-old girl in college. He was a fifth-year senior, so he was 22. Oh, wow. So it was like, you know, 17 and 22, like, you know, me at 34, I'm like, sorry, guys. That's Jesus. Just
the devil. Just
that's he's out listening. Here. He's here.
Out here trying to break y'all up. He just tried to, devil tried to knock Byron out the picture.
You saw that, right? Right. That was me.
And the funny part is what fell is a picture of Byron.
Ooh,
wow.
This is a prophetic, this is a moment right
see,
here.
See, the Lord is trying to reframe the picture.
Oh, I see what you did.
He's trying to give you some fresh perspective.
Hey.
I see what you did.
Preach on it.
Don't worry, I'm still here.
I'm like, I'm going to tell my story, devil. You're not going to stop me.
That was crazy. I couldn't
have
my life.
You okay, babe?
It was way
over. Oh, it didn't touch you. Okay. I was, you know, 17 years old, don't know who I am, started dating this guy who was super charming, thought he was awesome. And then that took a major, major, major left turn. Ended up being, I'll save you guys all the details, but it ended up being quite like an abusive relationship. And I think when you're that young and you enter into something that traumatic, that was basically, I didn't know it at the time, but it was like shaping my mentality towards relationships to come.
Right.
So once I got out of that relationship, and I was still only 20 years old when I got out, everything from that point was set at this bar of like, well, if it's not this, then it's okay. Mm. And, you know, and for me, I at that time was like, oh, and if you love something, you fight for it. You know, yeah. you gotta fight for love. Love doesn't come easy. Unconditional love is about, you know, accepting someone as they are and even their flaws. You know, you take the good and the bad and all that kind of, that was all so misguided, but all of that mixed together kind of, you know, if you look at my pattern of my dating life from 17 to then when I met him, when I was 32, 33, it literally like, it explains so many of the relationships that I've been in because I, you know, I literally just, I thought, you know, something's wrong with me. And as long as I can figure out what's wrong with me, then I can get this person to love me. And I can get this person to love me by just basically becoming a chameleon. What do you need from me? What will make you not upset? What will make you be more attentive? What will make you be more affectionate? What will make you this? Like, so all this self-work I was doing on myself, I had no idea. It was just me literally like my spirit was dying, like who I knew myself to be, or rather not even that, because I hadn't gotten to know myself yet, but so much had been compromised, if you will, in the process of my growth, because I was so busy trying to mold myself into being who these people who were never for me needed me to be. And then ultimately, even if I became that, like the bar, I could never catch up. Like if I became this, then it wasn't good enough. And then if I became that, it still wasn't good enough.
Man.
You're good enough for me, baby.
Oh, thank
That's what it is. Preach on that. B, compromises. Do you remember any of yours? Have you ever had a little thought phase? You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking.
No.
Go ahead.
I was like, there's two B's in here. I was like, wait a minute.
I'll use B and then be real. Okay. So be real. And then I'm going to come back to B. Be real. Any thought phases to where compromising was the major thing that you did?
You know, it was one of those kind of phases in college. Now, necessarily, I kind of knew what I wanted, same like Paige. Like, I knew, like, hey, being raised in the church, being raised in the family, I'm like, hey, I want to marry a woman who shares, like, the love for Jesus that I have. So that was kind of one of those, like, barriers that protected me from getting to, like, the thoughts. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, too, like, growing up, you're just like, hey, I want a fun girl.
Yeah.
So there was a couple girls, you know, like, nothing crazy. It was a little compromise, but in the big picture, like a little compromise is still a compromise. Yeah. And so in my head, I just had this wrestling of like, man, I know I'm better than this. This is going to get me in trouble. And there was one time, man, where the Lord like spoke to me very clear. Like he was like, yo, if you go down the path with this girl, you're going to miss out. And it scared the hell out of me. And so I immediately like called girl up and was like, hey, we're done, man. Like, God, she wasn't even a Christian. I was like, hey, I know you don't even necessarily like mess with God in the same way that I do, but just know God spoke to me. This ain't it. So,
hey, I know you don't believe in God, but just so you know, that nigga ain't like you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You ain't, Lord knows you ain't good for me. Yeah, but, you know, I think the part of me that was really scared about going in the direction of like in a thought phase, like seriously, was I just thought about all my wasted time. And I just kind of like at a young age, there was a little bit of a part of me of like projecting 5-10 years down the line. And I'm thinking, man, this might actually cost me like precious time right now, especially in my early 20s that I could be using elsewhere, you know? And so And part of it was I had really good people around me. So, like, I had really good community where
Wait,
I could,
that's
like,
key.
Be honest with them and have a conversation.
This is key. This is key. Having quality people around you. I just wanted to – I didn't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to emphasize this.
Yeah.
Because I feel a lot of us find our thoughty phases because we keep that shit all secret. We don't want to tell nobody because we know we tell somebody what we're really doing or who we're with, they're going to be like, that's not good for you. So I just – This is the key to missing a lot of heartbreaks. This is keep going.
Yeah, so I had a group of, like, dudes around me, and we would have the most honest conversations, like, about everything. Like, yo, I slipped up. I watched porn last week. Yo, man, I need to like snap out of that. And so for me, I just knew, man, I couldn't stand going back to my boys talking about, yo, I'm messing with so-and-so. And just the look that they would give me, like, come on, B, we know you're better than that. Those safeguards, I think, really kept me in a place where I never went that far. And I'm super thankful because, like, everyone else was, like, college, you know? Like, you're exploring and figuring out a lot of stuff about yourself. And so the time that everyone was out kind of, like, going through the thought phase, I felt like, oh, I'm actually developing myself. Like, I'm doing self-work, and I'm figuring out what I like and in a safe way, in a safe space.
And what about, okay, so now I'm going over to B. Byron, Paigey told me a little bit about your testimony. You were in the military, and then you were also a military stripper for all the troops. And then you were also married before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that.
Well, the stripping days we won't talk about.
No, that's BC. That's BC.
In the military, honestly, I wish I had now. Actually, like Brandon, I do have those circle of friends now. I didn't when I was younger. I wasn't being a thought at all. I wasn't out there. I went out there like that. Even as a guy, I was like, you know what? I liked like rom-coms. I sat and watched them with my mom, and I was like, this is cool. I want a white picket fence and all of that stuff. I know it's so weird. Everybody's like, real? I was like, yeah. But in the meantime, you try to keep finding, like, you try to find that. And when you don't, you're like, okay, cool. Kind of like Manny. He's like, all right, on to the next one. Cool. But for me, being in the military, like as soon as you put that uniform on in Oceanside, California, I was Marine, you can do whatever you want. There's girls that was like, he gets paid on the 1st and the 15th. I'm about to go get him. Yeah. So me, they know when you're getting paid. They know your rank. They know all of that. So it was like, I'm going to get married to him because I can get a house on base. I have a stable life. Like, it's done. We're good. Interesting. I was like, I don't want any of those. Oh, so many of my Marines, like, especially the young ones. I know as soon as they came back off a weekend, I was like, they're going to be married in 2 months. Just because you get paid more in the military. Wow. So if you get a wife, then you get to live off base, not in the barracks. You get like $1,500 more a month, and you're like, oh, let's go. Wow. So instead of doing that, I actually came back from a deployment, and the manager of my apartment was my daughter's mom. Long story short, like, we got together, we were dating, we were just messing around, and she had gotten pregnant, and I was like, ah. And I knew how much it would hurt to, like, have a split household, because we weren't supposed to be together like that. And I was like, well, you know what, I'm gonna do the right thing, let's make it work. And we're two people now, especially, we talk a lot now. We knew we weren't each other's person, but we was like, let's make this work. Especially since I found out it was a girl, I was like, oh no, I'm not leaving this little girl. And so for Delilah, it was important for her to see her father and her mother, and we that's why I said settled. We kind of talked to each other to where we knew that we weren't on each other's level, to where I would go somewhere, I would go left, she would go right. And it's like, it didn't fit, you know, it didn't fit at all. And we tried for so many years, and I compromised because this wasn't the person that I wanted. This wasn't the person who I was like, this is my forever person. Like when I saw you, babe, it was more like, oh man, I messed up, but let's try to do the right thing and build from there. So we didn't have anything solid to build on. Like, I started her going to church, and I was like, no, you can come up to my level. And I think more time for women, you try to bring the guy into,
right,
you know, into the religion. Like, no, God's cool. Let me show you.
Missionary.
But for me, for me, it was like, hey, girl, you know, God is kind of dope. He kept me alive. I done went on a deployment. I done got shot. I done got blown up. God was like, no, he's good. So he must be doing something right. So kind of building on that, having a daughter, then really, I was like, you know, we should get married. I want to make sure that everybody in the house has the same last name. So we got married. We just went to the courthouse. We've never done anything. Like, I never had anything big. We just went to the courthouse. Overall, it didn't work. We ended up being two different people. We had our beautiful daughter. We're cool. Like, we talk, we text. Like,
how long were you married?
We were married for a couple years. And then afterwards, oh, wow. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a long time, actually.
We married like 5 years.
Yeah, like 5 years.
A couple years makes it sound like it was like, one or two years.
I know, for me, she always tells me this. Like, your couple's like two or three.
He like
doesn't so need you to be specific.
Sorry. My specificity is like 5 years, yeah. And then afterwards, yeah, we were like, it really didn't work out. And we're like, yeah, we're two different people. And to where she started really going in a different direction. To where I was like, oh, this isn't the person I wanted. And she finally told me, she's like, you want me to be Martha Stewart? I'm not Martha Stewart. I want to run these streets.
Right.
So it ended up being a different situation for the ending.
Yeah.
But we're good. We're fine.
Let me ask you something, though. Since you said that, I'm assuming that since you were trying to get her into the church, so you were raised kind of in like a Bible believing. Okay. So
yeah, whole family, my uncle's a pastor, everybody like, yeah.
So, and here's why I ask, because a lot of people, I mean, at least a lot of people that I speak to that message in and ask advice, the thing that really holds them back or like is a massive cloud over their head when they're in a relationship that they're like, ugh, I did marry the person for the same reasons.
Yeah.
And they're still there and they're miserable. But the biggest fear is, you know, God hates divorce and. If I divorce, that's the unforgivable sin. Or if I bounce, you know, for whatever reason, God's going to hate me and everything else after that is going to be the worst. Yeah. And I don't want to speak on the level of hate God has for divorce or the real intent on why Paul put that in the Bible. Whatever. Bible-believing people may have an exact reason for that. I, on the other hand, I'm like, I don't really know if he was being more specific than he was in a global sense talking about this, like for years to come. I do understand that it said, you know, the only reason to divorce is cheating. But I kind of feel like the reason I always want to bring this up, especially with people who love God, is because I want to see or I want you to speak on how God treated you post-divorce, because I kind of feel like that's the only way to really get past the stigma of, oh, if I get a divorce, I have a scarlet letter. God hates me. He won't forgive me. And everything I do after that is not his best. It's going to be a version of his best. Can you speak on that? Like, how did you feel God treated you post?
Well, I got Paige, so I'm good.
That's not what that. Amen. Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Paige, like he was.
You upgraded, right?
So. I definitely did.
Were there years of feeling like, oh man, you know, like.
Well, no, here's the thing. It was hard, and that's why I stayed for so many years. But it actually ended in adultery, and it wasn't on my side. So I was like, oh. I was like, God, you said this one's cool, right? All right, cool.
Yeah.
I got an out. I was like, I got an out. Perfect. But with that happening, I still felt like, oh man, I failed my daughter. I failed the marriage. I was like, ah. So I was alone. I was like in a dark place for a couple months where I was just like, well, okay, you're starting over now. And then I actually left because I was in Colorado. I left Colorado and came out here. And I really felt like I was getting punished because I was killing the game in Colorado. Like I was like one of the top financial agents, financial managers for Toyota. I had like two different cars. I was balling. Came out here, I slept on my cousin's couch for the first couple months. I was like, oh, everything sucks. It was like, so you want to go back to film school? Cool, I'm going to strip you from everything. And I think we talk about it a lot of times. I thought I was doing everything, or I was getting it done. I was controlling the marriage. I brought her to God. I did everything. And God was like, oh, did you? I'm going to take everything you thought. Everything I thought was my identity. God was like, I'll take this and this and this and this and this. And now you have nothing. And by the way, I don't hate you because I'm going to give you the love of your life, but I'm not going to make you on a level that you were. I'm going to put you all the way to the bottom. So that way I'm going to show you that she really loves just you because you can give her absolutely nothing right now. And I was like, God, why couldn't you give her to me when I was winning? I was killing the game. I was balling out of control. I was popping bottles and everything. Oh my God. And then it was like, nah, then, you know, then you would still think you're doing it and you're in control. And it's like, you're not. So here's your person. Now go. And I'm like, oh, but it was that stigma of, you know, I failed at a marriage. I failed at this. You know, what could I have done to prevent, you know, these things that happen? And it's really just like focusing on pure happiness, because if I stayed with her, even after everything that happened, I'm dying every day inside. And I'm just like, well, I'm here for the kids, here for the kids. That's not healthy. You know, right. And for people thinking like, I'm going to stay in this, or, you know, God's going to be mad if I'm not in this, but you're also unhappy. So your unhappiness is going to lead to so many different things. It's going to come out. Even if you're pushing it down, it's got, you shake up a soda can, eventually it's going to pop and it's going to go somewhere else. You're going to cheat on her. You're going to react this way. You're going to, you know, just have just outbursts, and it's not good. Yeah. So people have to really think of true, this person annoys me. I don't want to be married to them. It's like, no, it's got to be something to where it's like, you know, it's not there. Yeah. If it's not there, there's no point in staying in something.
Yeah,
That's hurting both of you guys, not physically, but like emotionally. It's like, you're not my person.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, and I would even.
Well, it's definitely good that you added that. I'm sorry, Paigey. It's good that you added that because I remember T.D. Jakes. He did a sermon on this, and he was talking to the people that left marriage quickly because they weren't quote unquote happy.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's like, a lot of you leaving because you're unhappy, but your baseline, like what you're judging your happiness, like the baseline is not built on anything like real.
Yeah.
It's not like you're unhappy because of core values not being met.
And that's what
you're unhappy because you thought it was going to be easier.
Yeah.
You thought you guys would have money.
Yeah.
You didn't think that you would be so broke and have three kids, and now you can't do everything that your friends are doing. So you're getting hella FOMO, and you're just like, oh, life would be better if I had someone else.
Yep.
As opposed to, no. This person is legitimately hindering anything that God is trying to do.
Right.
I remember when I went to... I don't want to bring up pastor, but anyways, I've had big conversations with people that have been able to tell me, you know, this is why I left. I left because I saw that not only was my light dimming just in a visceral sense, but in a spiritual sense, this person is not with me on any of the things that I'm telling them God wants me to do.
Right.
They're not supporting any of that.
Yeah.
So my thing is either have a divided household, which cannot stand, or I have to leave because this person ain't trying to run with me and Jesus and what God is calling me to do. So I just got to make this decision.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened for myself, because I was going more this way. Like, we've got to be the perfect white picket fence family. We got to do this. And she was like, I just want to smoke blunts and chill. And it sounds funny, but that was literally our conversation. She was like, I don't want to do all that. Like, I would come home from working like 14-hour days, and I have to still have this light and energy, and just chilling on the couch. I was like, oh, I gotta still cook and clean and do all this stuff too. Oh, okay, cool. Are we going to church on Sunday? She's like, nah, bro, I'm chilling. Oh, okay. To where it's like, if that's you, cool, let that be you. But that's not kind of like what you were saying. That's not where my path is going. I'm trying to go this way. And if that's not you, you should have told me like 4 or 5 years ago. But then I also should not have tried to make her into something that she wasn't.
Right.
You know, because that was when I was like, okay, that was my fault. I'm going, no, I can bring you up and you can come here. And I think a lot more times than not, the women will grab the men and be like, oh, I can turn him into some girl. He got potential. It's like, that's who he is at his core. You can switch some things around. Like, she can make me eat healthier, or she can make me, you know, not eat past a certain time and not eat so much stuff. But she's not going to change who I am at my core. You have to go core to core. Who am I? Who is she? Okay, cool. I can handle the core person. This extra stuff, we'll adjust, because we're two different people. So her quirks are my quirks, and we have to figure that out. But at our core, she's like, hey, how you feel about that God person? Oh, he's dope? Okay, cool. He's dope. All right, we can work off that. Our base is God's dope. Awesome. Let's go.
Yeah, and I also feel too, like, I've never been married before, but having grown up in the church and having a relationship with God, even with me, the older I got, there definitely has been this sense of like, oh my goodness, the choices I've made, I'm now being punished. And that's why I don't have a person yet. That's why I'm sitting and, you know, in my group of friends, for instance, like, I'm probably one of the last two to get married. And so it's like, over the last decade, I have been in every wedding. I have planned every baby shower, every bridal shower, done all of it. And I've loved it. I've loved celebrating, you know, the joys and of my friends and the people that I love. But also in the back of my head, I'm like, well, God, why isn't it happening for me? How come I'm not meeting the person who makes me feel like this person makes this person feel. How come I'm not falling in love? How come someone's not seeing me for me? What's going on? And
God was clearing my old marriage out for you.
Well, you know, you look at it in hindsight, but I think for me, ultimately, what I look at now is I realize, you know, at the time I'm going like, God, why not me? Why not me? Why isn't it my time? And now I've given room. I've become so disappointed and so discontented with the position that I am in my life that I've given room for the enemy to now come and fill my head with lies. Now I'm believing, well, because I dated this person and I probably knew the whole time I shouldn't have been there, but I didn't leave anyway, you're not going to let me get married, or you're going to make me wait longer. Like, so everything, I started subconsciously viewing every bad thing that was happening in my relationships or just in my life in general as like, oh, well, this is my punishment. This is my punishment for being disobedient here. This is my punishment for maybe not walking in my faith the way I know I really should have. This is my everything became about punishment. And before I knew it, I was like mad. Like, I was mad AF at God. I was like, you wrong, homie. Like, you know what you did and you're wrong. I was so upset. And I just felt like, you know, I became so inward in the sense of, you know, I'm out here trying to live right. I know I'm not perfect, but none of us are. I'm trying to do this the right way. I'm trying to hold on to my faith. I'm trying to hold on to my morals. And it's like literally at every turn to disappoint me and humiliate me, you're taking it. Like, that's how I was viewing it. And I feel like because at that moment I had become so hardened with God, because I basically at that point was like, well, whatever. I'm not going to expect anything good from you because you're not checking for me. Like, that's how I felt. Like, you are not concerned about me. I know I read the Bible. I know you say you care about me, but you must have been talking about your other kids because you don't like me, you know? Yeah. And from that point on, I realized, like, God had to take me through such, like, a refining and purging and just transformative process of getting my head right. And it wasn't until I feel like he got me through that season of growth that I realized there's no way in the world that person, how I used to think, how I used to react to things, could have survived a marriage, even if you would have given it to me. Like, there's no way in the world. And I was able to start flipping and realizing, oh, what I used to see as punishment, that was love. That was an act of love because you were protecting me. Crushing. It wasn't punishment. It was protection. Because had I gotten into this, had I married that person, had I continued to settle, who knows where my spirit, where my heart, or even like my relationship with him would be today. And like, it's crazy to be able to look back in hindsight and go, some of the lowest moments of my life are some of the moments where when I think about them, I just like rejoice. And I'm like, God, you are so good. Okay, you knew what you were doing. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said.
I think there was a T.D. Jakes thing that we were, a podcast we were listening to it as well, and the best thing he said, and we repeated it to each other a few times, we praise a God that opens doors, but we question a God that closes doors. And it's for those reasons to where it's like, no, I closed that door. Don't try to go through it. It wasn't for you.
Yeah.
This one's open over here. It's like, nah, but I think there's a doggy door I can slip through, even though that door's closed. Yeah. And God's like, you can
somebody
try to pick, bro.
Somebody had the window open. Somebody had the window open.
It's not for you. Yeah.
It smells good over here, though. I smell something.
Yeah, they barbecuing.
I have a statement, and I want to hear from each person what it means to you. Because I said this to my friend who I started off the podcast talking about. And tell me what this means if you understand what I'm saying. And I'll ask Be Real, and then I'll come to my queen. When I talked to her, this is the last thing I left her with, because after hearing her continuing to tell me all the reasons things are good or things are bad, I just got kind of like, okay, look, you have the exact relationship that you want. What does that mean?
We established.
Yeah, that's Manny's nickname he gave me. He's actually the only guy that calls me Be Real in my life.
Sounds about right.
The only anointed.
You know, Manny has a thing for giving nicknames.
You have the exact relationship you want.
What does that mean to you?
It's pretty layered to me. I think part of the where my mind goes is, one, the state that you are in and the space that you are in and how you view yourself and how you view the world, that's what you're going to attract.
Yeah. Mm.
So, like, again, that could be at different phases in our life. So that is what you want. But then also, too, how you choose to spend your time, which is your most valuable commodity that you can give somebody. If you're investing that into a relationship, it is because there is a part of you that is craving that and wanting that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So at the end of the day, it's like, if you're in that relationship, it's because that's what you want. And that's a lot of times too, even when it's like not even healthy for us, like we know, like, this is not a good relationship for me. One of the ways that we know we want it is all the ways that we justify staying in the relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll say, hey, I believe in this potential. I can, you know, let me mold them a little bit. I can get them to this, what I want to see them. Or, oh, it's okay. I'm the problem. I'm so sorry. It's something I'm doing that's causing this behavior in you. Like, what you're essentially saying is, in all the ways that you're justifying, you're staying because deep down you want this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's that term in basketball, Brandon, where like Manny just went like this so you could go
it's
like
a lob.
That?
Oh, oh yeah, it's a lob. So he threw an alley-oop. So he just threw that ball up
alley-oop.
And then I just ooped
that
it.
Was fire. That was fire.
Oh yeah, that's an alley-oop. That's alley-oop. He wouldn't block it away. He would slam it.
That was in the basket.
Oh,
yeah.
That's why I was like, it looked like you were doing volleyball.
Yeah, I was like, that's a stuff.
I meant in the basket.
Okay, so that's
alley-oop.
So look, as if you want to be cool in basketball lingo, that's just called an oop. So it's like, oh, it's called an oop.
Oop, yeah.
Oh, you take the first part off.
I finished the oop for him.
There you go.
Yes.
He windmilled that. It's great.
That oop was fire, though.
What do you, baby? Fire. What do you think when you hear that? What do you think it means?
I already know the answer that you said because you told me this. But
okay, but wait, try to take that. What does it mean to you?
I mean, you have the relationship that you want. You manifest what your thoughts become actions, become words become actions, and all of that. And so you manifest what you truly want. So you can say, whether it's your relationship or your career or your dreams or whatever, you could say, I'm going to be a successful actress. But if your mind really doesn't believe that and your thoughts are full of doubt and full of like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not even smart enough. I don't even know how to. And if that's your thoughts, that's actually what you're manifesting. The words that are coming out, that's you're lying. That's lying to yourself. Yeah. So it's, you have the relationship you want is what is your thought life? What are you really able to envision and see for yourself in a relationship?
Right. Okay.
No, I completely agree. I mean, we have a thing we always say, which is you are what you think about
all day long.
And so you two really just said it beautifully and perfectly. It really is that. So if you are what you think about, then in a sense, yeah, the relationship you have is exactly the relationship that you want. Because I think it's very, our relationships, whether they're romantic or they're platonic in our, you know, in just our friendships, I think the people that you surround yourself by are very, it's very reflective of how you see yourself, you know? And so, you know, and I think Manny, you were touching on this earlier in terms of the importance of having good people around you, having a solid foundation of people around you, your tribe, if you will. And I feel like you need to have people that around you that love you and trust you enough to let you know when you're wrong, but then to also let you know when you're killing it. Cause sometimes it's hard for you to see yourself engage truthfully. A lot of times you can think you're just failing at everything, and you need that person or persons in your life who will say like, no, like this is where you are doing so great. This is where I'm inspired by you. This is where I'm just like so excited for you, to just put things back in perspective. And I think, you know, so just going back to, you have the relationship you want. I was a person who my relationship, I was single for 5 years before him. I dated in between, but I wasn't in a like actual committed relationship. So the relationship I was in before him, if anyone would ever try and say to me, well, this is what you want. It's been 4 years. This is exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. I would get mad. I feel like Manny probably was on the end of some of those conversations too, where I would be like, no, it's not. It's not, you know, and I would just go into a whole thing about how he just needs to change and then I need to do better. Kind of what you were saying, Brandon. It's a, this is what's wrong with them and this is what's wrong with me. And God, if you could just come fix it, then
fix them.
If you can fix them, then we'll be good. Yeah. Now that I'm older, I'm realizing that is everything about that relationship. The first time something happened, I didn't want that. But every moment after, every single one of those 4 years that I was in it, that I just kept receiving things and I kept ignoring the voice of God and being disobedient to what he was saying, that was me saying, God, I want this and I want it more than what you have for me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, especially when you're people of faith, I think it's hard to admit it because it just sounds like I wouldn't have the balls to look at God and be like, I don't want what you have for me. But that's what we are subconsciously doing so many times.
Yes.
And that's what I had done. I had said so many times to him, like, I don't want what you got. This is what I want. So make this work, or I don't want it, or I don't need, or I don't have any time for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the best things that I've heard was from Les Brown. And he said, pick your five closest friends. He's like, you're the sum total of your five closest friends. And like, I stopped and thought, it was years back. And I was like, oh, I suck then. You know, and it's like,
that's funny because Jaquie just put it in our
yeah.
chat. She said,
because you really are. And going back to what Brandon was saying, like, if you look at my circle now, like everyone is my cheerleader, also judge, jury, and executor. Is like, bro, you know you're messing up. Or I can come with that. I can't come to them and be like, yo, man, you know, so I got Paige, but I was looking at this one girl, kind of like what Brandon said. They'll look at me like, are you losing your mind right now? Yeah. Like, I have those guys now. And I told them now, like my best friends in my circle now, I wish 16, 17-year-old me had you guys because my life would be totally different. And going back to, you know, originally the question is like, you teach people how to treat you. You teach people how to be in a relationship with you. So if you're a guy or a girl and you teach them, it's okay. You're either telling them it's okay for you to do this to me or I want you to do this. Because if I do something she doesn't like, she lets me know right away and vice versa. Right. Whether she's saying it to where we've been together long enough now to where I can just look at her face or I can hear her sighs. And she doesn't have to do anything. And I can answer. Manny probably knows. You can speak for her without her being there and have a full conversation and be like, I know exactly how she's going to take this.
You can do her whole body movement, everything.
And be like, yeah, this is what she's going to say. So. I know exactly what to do. So within a way, she taught me how, like, this is how I would like to be loved. Are you capable of this? If not, we're not going to work. And that's what people really need to think about. Like, this is how I need to be loved. And how do you need to be loved? And we actually verbally said that to each other. Well, obviously the love languages, but it's like, what makes you happiest? Oh, this is what makes you happy. I didn't know that. Oh, when you do this, this makes me feel this way. This is how I actually feel. This is what love looks like to me. I receive love when you do this. Right. Or I receive love when you do this. Oh, I didn't know that. Cool. Let's do that then. It's easy.
Yeah. And see, this is right here where I want to have the call out. If you are still listening at 15 minutes and 23 seconds.
Has it been that long?
I know. It's going fast. This is the call out. All right. This is the freaking bullshit call out to everyone who keeps blaming everything else except yourself. I get so pissed off. This is my PSA. This is my bitch better have your money. This is that moment where it's like, I get so upset when people complain about the relationship that they're in or what the other person is doing. When what B said was correct, you are teaching someone how to treat you. You are teaching someone what you are okay with. If you complain about something, and then it continues to happen and you stick around, why do you think your complaints or your feelings should have any merit when you are showing the person that you do not care enough to exit the situation. Right. So why the hell would they be afraid right. that you're going to exit the situation?
They're going to put enough
you have
on
to at some point, you need to at some point admit to the fact that you are okay with being treated at a substandard level. Yeah. Like, and deal with it. Don't go complaining to your friends. Oh, he does this. I wish he wouldn't do this. Oh, I'm so mad he did this again. Well, why are you still there?
Yeah.
Well, oh, because of this or because, then just shut up. Deal with it. Yeah. Like, there's pros and cons to every relationship. If your pros are good enough to stick with all the crap that you're dealing with, all right, chalk it up. Chalk it
and
up.
And I completely you know what agree I'm with you, Manny, but I think the reason so many people don't do that, and I can speak for why it took me so long to do it, is because one of the most terrifying things in life is having to face yourself.
Yeah,
is having to face the things about yourself that you know you don't like, you know that need to change.
Yep.
It is such a terrifying thing because I think when you're dealing with self, for me, it was a lot of the question of like, well, what if I can't change? What if this is how I stay? What if I do change? And then the comfortability that I have in the relationships that I have, mm-hmm. what if those disappear? What if I don't have anybody? What if I do all this work on myself and now I just did all this work to be alone? And I think it's a very terrifying thing to face yourself. Because ultimately, every relationship, you are what you think about. You're in the relationship you want. All that just comes down to who are you? How do you view yourself?
Yeah.
What do you want out of life? What is your foundation set upon? And like, if you're not in a place yet where you can have an honest and transparent, vulnerable look at yourself, nothing in your life is going to reflect that.
Yeah.
Nothing in your life is going to be honest. Nothing in your life.
I fully agree.
Like nothing.
But here's
will.
What I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I agree with what you're saying. What I'm saying is be honest enough to yourself to admit it. Like, stop bullshitting yourself. I can smell bullshit from a mile away. If you are in a place where you are just with someone because you are lonely, admit it. Hey, he isn't the best.
But that's a hard thing for people to admit. That's hard.
But it's even harder to believe your lies that you're telling yourself.
Well, it's easier if you tell yourself the same thing. Just like Angela says, like what you tell yourself every single day becomes the truth. If you're like, nah, this person's it. But if we're all being honest, the only reason a lot of people staying is sex. That's
sure.
it. You ask a girl or a guy, it's like, oh, you know, why am I putting up with this? You know why.
Well,
a lot of people,
it wasn't like for me,
not you,
it was, well, no, but I'm saying, I think for some people, yes, but I think for me, it wasn't for me. I was terrified to be alone and I was terrified to feel like I wasn't worthy of love. That love would never happen for me. So therefore, let me take this really watered down, settled, compromised version, misconstrued version of love here, because at least I know I have this
something
because
to hold on
the
on
other
to.
Side of this I like the unknown was terrifying and like for someone who like me, like I crave connection, I wanted partnership, I wanted that companionship so badly. So that fear of rejection, that fear of being alone was almost crippling to my self-growth, because I'm like, well, I don't want to risk it. Like the risk of growing at some point was like, it wasn't worth what I had, because at least like, he may not like me, but he's here.
Yeah. I think Jakee just asked you a really dope question. I would like to hear your answer for that. Cause I know that's something.
Let me ask you this question. This was from Jakee, and, sometimes girls and guys both, we have this image in our head of what we're looking for, what we want, and talking about what we're not going to settle for or what is ideal, whatever. So you had your list, or you're like, oh, I want him to be like this. And then you meet a guy who is divorced and has a kid, which I imagine probably wasn't on your list.
Girl,
so
wasn't
tell
on
us.
Yours,
cause it was the top of my list.
Number three.
Baby mama drama. Baby mama drama. That's what I want. Well, no, because this this is the caveat, real quick. Because Paigey, her last relationship also had this synonymously with where she ended up having to take care of a kid and be mad invested.
Uh-oh.
And then that dude was a freaking chump.
Yeah, he was.
So I want to hear that answer to that question, but also I, before we wrap it up, I do want to hear just a little bit of your guys's, how you met and how, aww, how you met, and also the moment you were like, ooh, I feel something. Yep. That's, so, but answer the first question.
Okay. So, yeah, absolutely not. So married, previously married with kids was definitely not on my checklist, if you will. I think as I've gotten older, so, you know, in my list of a perfect guy, like previously married and having kids was just not there.
Period. But other than that, I mean, come on.
But, but as I've gotten older, I've realized, okay, like when I turned 30, I was like, oh, the chances of meeting someone who at the very least had been married really young and is divorced now is a lot higher. Yeah. So, right, you know, I think as I got older, I started having to ask myself, like, okay, what is actually really a deal breaker? And why is it a deal breaker for me? Mm. So if someone had a previous marriage, so I took it in pieces. So if someone had a previous marriage and no children, I'm not open to that person because, and then I didn't have an answer. You know, and then I'm like, okay, so different scenario, someone who is previously married, or maybe they weren't married, but they have children for, from a previous relationship. Okay, what are my reasons why that might be something I'm not open to? And you can go down, like for me, I literally made a pros and cons list. I was like, well, not for him in particular.
I was about to say, where that list at?
Not for him. Let me clarify.
I want to see that list.
It wasn't for him. It was just at the time I had dated, like for a very short period of time, a guy who had kids. And it really started making me think about whether or not that would be something I'd be open to. And, you know, I realized one thing that I knew that I wanted was like, oh, when I have children, I want to experience that. Like, we're experiencing it for the first time. You've yeah. never been a parent. I've never been a parent. So when I feel like I'm failing, you need to feel like you're failing too, because you've never you've never done this.
I have a daughter. I still fail. It's cool.
You know, but and so basically for me, it was just kind of trying to figure out why that would be something I was opposed to. And for myself, my why just wasn't weighty enough for me to go, well, if God just sent someone into my life who was like everything I could have ever prayed for and more, I would say no thank you, God, because he had the audacity to have a life before he knew I existed.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and so
I'm sorry.
You know, and so it's just one of those things where, like, you know, I'm 34. I easily could have been a person who was married before or had a kid. You know, yeah. It just so happened that I wasn't. And do I want someone to not give me a chance as the person I am because of the life I had before them? And so, you know, for me, I think at that point, I just started praying through, like, okay, God, I'm not going to ask you to, you know, I'm just going to stop asking you for this quality and this quality and this quality and this quality. I am just going to say, like, God, I want someone who loves you, who has a heart for you, who lives every single day just trying to be the best version of themselves and the best reflection of you that they can be, and all the other stuff will fall into place.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, and that's what happened. So, you know, I feel like it's funny how God will work, because again, with my own personal growth, if I had stayed so close-minded, I wouldn't be sitting here engaged, about to get married in September.
With the gift from the Lord.
Well,
from the Lord.
Well.
I love it. Look, and here's the interesting thing. There's three different dynamics represented on this call. And I think I want to pose the question, but at the same time, I probably already know the answer. But I'm still going to pose it for branding's sake. Okay. Because we have B Real, who got married when he was 25. That's what I was. Okay, 25. Us, I got married at 30. Baby at 28. 29. Yeah. And then you guys, obviously, a little bit older.
5 months.
Yeah. So in the different perspectives, because obviously I could not fathom being married at 25 or anywhere in my 20s. Because I was just a little asshole. So, but I'm going to ask the question, was it worth the wait? And I know it is, at least because I know you guys, but give me a why based on your specific situation. Be real.
worth the wait. Well, since I was relatively, I was pretty young at 25, the wait wasn't as long per se. I feel like I got really blessed and really lucky because I found Maddie. Mm-hmm. And again, one of the ways that I knew she was the one was, man, I felt that shit in my heart like so quick, you know, like it was like a deep thing. And I never knew that I could experience a love like that before, which made for me like all the times that I'd put safeguards in my life, all the seasons that I did say no, all the times that I had to have tough conversations with my group of friends around me, that kind of love that I felt with Maddie made all of that worth it. Mm. And it felt like a little bit too of like at the time when everyone else is like, or not everyone else, that's a huge overgeneralization, but a lot of people are out like doing their thing and it feels like I'm kind of taking L's because I'm saying no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It made all those times where it felt like I was taking L's turn into the biggest win of all of those people.
Yeah. You know?
And it was funny because during the time where I met Maddie, like the Lord really spoke to me through Hosea 2:15. And there's this passage where in that he says, I'll turn the valley of Achor into a door of hope. Hmm. Mm. And Achor is literally translated trouble. So like, man, where this season where I just felt so just like, man, this sucks. I want to be with somebody. God, you know how much I want to be like, have that person to build my life with, you know, meeting her felt like, oh, this valley was nothing because now this door of hope feels like, oh, I'm set, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, man. Mm-hmm. So, and I asked that perspective because yes, you got married young, but there's a for those who are out there and they are younger, you know, I think you always have that feeling that there's always something out there better.
Yeah.
There's always something out there better. And you think that way when you're young because you think, you legitimately think, oh, there's, you know, if I settle down too soon, if I settle down at this point, what if I miss out? What if there's, you know, there's hotter girls, there's hotter dudes, there's blah, 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 blah. That's a young way of thinking. Right. You get on the other side of age and you're like, there will always be somebody hotter.
Always.
Always. There's always going to be somebody flyer with more money, with more whatever, with the appearance of y'all getting together or getting along more. Like, it will always happen. There will be a lot of people out there that you could totally be with.
Yeah.
But it's important to know that when you make your choice and you do find the one that you guys are compatible with and you find that thing, the timing is more important than the age, I would say. Yeah. So I travel over to Queen, 29, was it?
Yeah.
And I was 30, about to be 31. Mm-hmm. I would say it was worth the wait. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine it in my 20s because I was just out there just trying to find love. But I think it was worth the wait only because, and this is something that we skipped a lot, and I think probably Byron and Paige Lee too. We skipped a lot of the drama of the 20s of trying to figure out finances, dealing with student loans, or dealing with all the stuff that initially cripple a marriage. Like when you go into it and all butterflies and unicorns, and you don't ask that fool, hey, how's your student loan debt? You find out afterwards when y'all like the first night, I owe $60,000 in student loans. So we probably won't be buying a house till 2035. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we don't have that problem because I dropped out and the military paid for him.
Yeah,
well, which is what I'm saying, though. No, I feel like it was worth the wait, not only because we got our life together, we got our shit together, but at the same time, I was able to be on the other side of the idea that, oh my God, I'm going to miss out on something else. I'm going to miss out. There's always more girls. There's more girls. That endless striving to try to find the perfect more that doesn't exist. So I'm grateful, and I definitely think it was worth the wait for maturity to settle in for me at 30. What about you? You feel worth it?
I mean, the jury's still out.
Yeah.
But
totally.
Yeah.
I still got stuff to prove.
No. Here's the funny thing. Worth the wait because here's the shallow response. I thought I was going to end up with somebody really ugly and overweight. And I thought for sure that was going to happen because all I cared about really at the end of the day was their heart and their personality. Could they make me laugh and did they love Jesus? And so because I knew deep in my heart that those were really my only important core values, I was like, great, I'm going to end up with an ugly fat guy because that's
what he loves Jesus.
That's like, I thought for sure I was going to, especially because like the funny guys that I knew were ugly fat guys. And yeah. I was like,
and your ex-boyfriends were trash.
Oh my god.
That's
only,
right.
Only
that's
by looks.
Right.
Only by looks. Okay, they're all way more successful than me.
Okay. Stop giving hints. Get out of here. So, anyways, I was like, watch, I'm about to end up with this dude over here, but he's gonna have the best personality and love Jesus. Great. I was mad about it.
Great.
And then I met this guy, and he was all of those things and super hot. And I was like, no way, I get a hot guy? Yes, worth the wait.
Yeah, that's a good worth the wait, babe.
That's
I'm trying to keep it off. I'm trying to keep
you're
the
worth the wait
because
you were hot.
You're
also, the heart
welcome.
Thing's duh. The heart thing's duh, but that was just a different perspective.
Yeah.
That was.
These are all obby. Oh, Avi. Yeah.
No.
And then the seniors in the group.
Oh. No, but actually, I feel like I'm the only true senior because he got married in his 20s.
Oh, you're right.
And then was divorced and now is getting married again.
Yeah.
I mean.
So I'm the only true. I'm the only one who's really put in real time.
You're right.
First, I put in right. real time.
You're the only one that was in the Alcatraz of relationships.
Yeah. I'm definitely worth it. That's all you need to say.
Well, no, for me, it has been absolutely worth the wait. I think, you know, I have throughout this part, we got engaged in August, and I think there's been multiple times. Yeah, you guys were there.
We were a part of it.
There have been multiple times since we've been engaged where I have either on my own, just with my time with Jesus, or like with him or with friends, have just like broken down in tears, just remembering the young girl who just like thought something like this would never happen for her, you know, and who had just given up hope. Aww. And, you know, for me, I was like, forget, you know, funny, like fat guy. I was just like, I'm just going to end up with a horrible person that I'm just going to have to try and like make the most of, or I won't end up with anyone at all. Mm-hmm. And so with him, it's just like to know, one of my prayers while waiting for him, there were many, but one of them was, God, I just want someone whose love for me is a manifestation of your love for me. Mm. And so like when I met him and just the way that he has loved me, just like, I mean, from, it feels like day one, it was just like this outpouring and this like overflow of love. Like, here's my love. I'm going to give it all to you. If I can, I'm going to go find some more and then I'm going to pour some more on you. Mm. And for me, like, that's how I love, but I've never been outside of my family loved like that in return. And so to just sit here and know that like this person literally like will do anything for me and literally sees me in a way where like, honestly, I feel like God has even brought him into my life to reignite parts of myself that I had like given up hope on and to remind me about like who I am and to like, I like God has just resurrected so many things in me that I thought were dead because of how he's enabled Byron to love me. And so just knowing sitting here today, like how secure I feel and knowing like this man loves me and he adores me and he cherishes me and he is like my biggest fan and my biggest cheerleader, but will also check me because everyone in this podcast who knows me knows I need to be checked sometimes. But like, you know, like he is all that. He's like my best friend in the whole world and like my favorite person. And I feel like I'm gonna cry, but like all of that literally is just like, if I had to go back and I was talking to 15-year-old me and she was like, well, am I going to have to wait? And I'm going to be like, yep, you're going to have to wait longer than you thought, but it's so worth it. Mm. It's so worth it.
Aww.
I can't answer after that.
I know. I also set him up to fail because his answer.
I can't answer after that. I mean. Well then. Oh, babe, I love you.
His answer is like, "You aight. You aight."
Yeah, she's. I mean, I guess the jury's out. You know, kind of answer, the jury's out. No, it's absolutely worth it. I mean, for a guy, we like quietly feel emotions and things. But for her, I've been searching for her for a long time and failing. So I think within waiting for you, it was absolutely worth it. Let me say that. Because I'm a lot. People are like, oh, he's funny, blah, blah. I am loud. I have quirks. You know, I'm loud. There's certain things like that comes with the military brain. It's like everything has to be in order. I have OCD, you know. It's a lot. I'm a lot. I come with a daughter, and even when I proposed to her, the thing I said to her, you know, it's like, you love my daughter the way I love my daughter. And I didn't think that was going to happen afterwards. Aww. You know, and giving myself a scarlet letter of like, oh, he's got a kid, blah, 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 baby mama. I was like, there actually is no baby mama drama. And
thank you, Jesus.
I know, right? And she loved me at a point where I was, even for myself, I was like, I'm not where I want to be. I was like, I have to go back, and I just finished acting school. And I was like, now I have to take these roles that aren't the best just to get my name out there and all these other things. And she was just like, no, it's cool. I haven't had anybody other than my family too be like a real cheerleader for me. And somebody that was like, all right, yeah, you're doing okay, but you need to keep doing this. And I was like, oh, wow, she really loves me. Okay, all right. And I can't really give you anything right now. And that was at the very beginning. And I'm like, oh, even with me growing and doing more things, she was like, yeah, I'm just going to keep loving you. It doesn't matter. So waiting for the perfect person that fit me perfectly, because I'm, you know, you guys are creatives. Like, being a creative, it's hard to find somebody that A, understands, and B, is going to push you forward and say, keep creating. I don't want to keep this person to myself because this is my person. You guys don't have her. But, you know, having her really be there with me is great and definitely worth the wait. And
yes,
we got about 5 more months.
And really quick, how did you guys meet? And when did you feel that click?
No. I'm going to tell the real story because she didn't believe. So we met on set. I was her dad's stand-in, which is funny because I was not going to take the job. And she always asked me why I always say that part. I was like, why weren't you going to take the job? Because I'm a serious actor. I have 2 different acting degrees. I'm a thespian.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I'm not taking a stand-in spot. It was like, it's for Sinbad. I was like, I'll take that spot. That's cool. I was like, I still get to do other stuff. I'll take the spot. Well, within doing that, she had walked by one day. I was going in the back, and she walked by, and she just did her little page smile. And it was like a cartoon.
It was like this.
Oh, there it is. Medium smile. But she smiled, and I was going to the back, and it was like Doug Funny and Patty Mayonnaise. Just dated myself. And it's like a slow motion. And it was like, oh. And I looked at her, and then she walked past, and I went forward, and I ran into the wall.
No.
I walked into a wall.
Yeah, that
she said she didn't see because she turned the corner. I walked into the wall.
That all sounds cute. Oh, man. But then for like 3 more weeks, he would spend 3 more weeks like hardcore flirting with me, and then hit me with a like, all right, cool. It's good to see you. I'll see you.
No, let me tell you why. No, and here's why. We had a rap party that night. Because it was our first episode. And so it was the rail show. So that night we were at the club, and I was like, oh, there goes the girl with the smile. Okay, what's up? And then we were talking. She was like, oh, what do you do for the show? I was like, oh, you know, I'm Sinbad. When Sinbad ain't there. And she was like, oh, so you're my dad. And I was like, huh? She was like, Sinbad's my dad. And I was like, have a good night. I'll see you later. One, I've already spent so much time with him, and I respect him. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Two, I'm like, he crazy. Yeah. He might kill me.
He might.
Everybody's like, oh, Sinbad's the best, is he? Yeah. I don't care how old he is. That guy is still dangerous. Nope. I shook her hand. I was like, have a good night. She thought I was joking. I kept walking. I was like,
Mm-mm. And he would do that for like 3 more weeks. But one thing I think that is so cute that he did, when he finally did ask me out, before we even, I think we went on one date.
Yeah.
And then he says he just knew after that first date. So the next day or I think that was over the weekend. So whatever the next day is that they were on set, he like goes to my dad's dressing room and like asks for his permission, his blessing to date me.
Aww. Yeah.
Which I thought was so cute.
Because I went to his room. Like, I was in his room every day. We were talking. He was telling me stories. Like, that was the one day I was like.
Did he know you already went on a date? I've never been so scared in my life.
What'd you say? We went on one.
My dad's very, very, very observant. Yeah. So he like knew that.
He was like, yeah, I know.
We were crushing on each other.
Yeah.
And I'm super close to my dad. So even like behind closed doors, I was like, you talk to him. What do you think about this guy? You know, but my dad like wouldn't give that much away. He was like, he cool. Why you asking? Like, yeah. Literally. Why?
Yeah. And then, it was just important for me to be like, hey, I'm not going to run around, because I knew after our first date, and I knew when I first saw her, because you guys, the main question was, how did you know? As soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, this is it. People go, oh, it's so corny, the love at first sight. As soon as I saw her, I was like, there we go.
Yeah.
I was like, we're making a family. There's legacy. Like, she walked past and I was like, oh, we're building something. That's good. She doesn't know yet. I was like, that's it. So after the first date, it just like, I was like, oh, so this is going to be my wife. Cool. I should probably tell her dad.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
I was a little slower to the party. Woo. I had a lot of
had to peel those layers back. Oh, man.
I just like, yeah, I had gotten to a point where I was still open to love, but I was very like,
the hole was that big.
I had become so protective of my heart. Mm. Like I took guard your heart to a whole other level.
It's cool.
He would be like,
I took my military background and I was like, you guarding it? Cool. I'm gonna fight through this.
He would literally like sit there, look me in my eyes and say some of the most beautiful words I've ever heard. And then I'd look at him and I'd be like, I think you know, I'm in my 30s. I was like, it's cute. Yeah, it sound good. We'll see. I'm a very actions more than words person. So you can say all the cute stuff, you can say all the beautiful words, but who are you? How do you live? What are your actions? So
My actions wore her down.
So yeah, I was a little slower to the party, but then like once I knew, I don't know, I think we were just we were at my house one day, and one of my favorite movies is The Five Heartbeats. And every time I watch that movie, my friends, they're so annoyed with me because it's one of those where I know every word, I sing every song. So I make it a horrible experience for everyone else around. But he literally like within 2 seconds of the movie being on starts like quoting the lines with me, and we're like doing the choreography, and I was like, I'm gonna marry him.
Eddie Kane helped me get her.
Yeah, but in my, I knew that in my heart, but I was like, but I'm not gonna tell him yet. I won't tell him yet.
Oh, I love that.
That's awesome. That. Look, the main reason for this podcast, if you have braved this whole time, which I think is amazing if you have, because you probably learned a lot, is to continue to put out hope for people who are searching for their other person, but may be living underneath the standard that they feel they should be living, or accepting love in a lower capacity that you know you want. I always say to the people that I freaking talk to, the love that you deserve, you know, is out there. It's just if you're willing to wait, and if you're willing to better yourself so that you get to the point where you're going to give that exact same love that you are expecting.
Exactly.
If you are, there is someone out there that deems you valuable enough to treat you the way you feel you should be treated. So hopefully this love story is one in which will give you maybe a couple more years of you know, waiting. I don't want to speak a couple years, but maybe a couple months. You know, maybe he's right around the corner. I know the second that I became serious about it and I valued myself enough, 6 months later is when I met Ange. And so you just never know. But you for sure will never find out if you're with somebody that's substandard. That amazingness that you're seeking may never come because of the fact that you are with something that is lesser than. So this is an encouragement to all you guys who are still waiting, guys and gals. Hold on. Don't give up hope. Love can be around the corner.
Yeah.
Tomorrow can look completely different. You just never freaking know. Thanks, guys, for being a part of our podcast and telling your story.
Thank you.
Love you so much. I can't wait to hang out when the Rona is done.
I know.
I'm just going to walk around and hug random people just for no reason.
Just bring it in.
Oh, my God. And if you're listening, if you haven't watched, if you're not, like, privy to everything that we're doing, I think you should probably watch us because we're all very amazing people. So go to our YouTube channel, check out our mugs, and I promise you won't be disappointed. Mind of Manny is the YouTube channel. Come hang with us. We love you so much. And as I always like to say,
if you don't have a seat at the table,
you are always welcome at ours.
We pray you find. How's it go?
We pray that you find a seat at the table.
If not,
yeah. Come on, babe.
I don't know why I messed that up.
Yeah, hey. Well, you messed it
you
up.
You know, this is why. Take two. This take is two. Why. Go because take two. You, okay, go. You take typically two. Go. Say it, and then you looked over at me to like say it, and I was like, oh, shit. There's a table involved. There's chairs.
There's
get a chair.
Table.
Pull it up.
There's chairs.
When you get a table, you eat the food.
There's going to be a lot of people.
Got it.
It's fine. We're going to make some room. It's okay. I have paper plates.
We're going to make room. Nobody knew you were coming, but it's fine.
At the table. We make room for squares. Wait, no.
We love you guys so much.
We love you guys so much.
Love you.
And we